Welcome to KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. I'm Angela Ewing with Ewing's Doings and Bylines. Today I have the pleasure of introducing Pete Chasar, a very talented artist in Brookings, whose work is on display in the art galleries around the area. Because I've always been intrigued with art and galleries, and knowing Pete is involved with most of them, I've asked if he would give us some information and some history on the art community here. Pete, you wrote a wonderful dissertation of how the galleries began, and I would love you to read it for us.
Okay, I can do that. I will get right into it. Here's what I know about the Brookings art scene from 1955 through 1999. Though there may have been earlier groups, Pelican Bay Arts Association had its first art class in the basement of Chetco Inn in January 1955. Later that year, Marion Chapman and Virginia Manley were elected co-chairs of the new association. In 1956, classes were held in a garage on Spruce Street with Bud Bisarek, who was the pilot owner, as an instructor. The first Azalea Festival art show was also held that year, and a new studio was opened on Fern Street. During this early period, the group also held art auctions and contributed to the high school's art program. Then in 1964, PBAA, in other words, Pelican Bay Arts Association, converted a small, portable hot dog stand building to a new studio on Lower Harbor Road in Harbor. Then in June 79, the studio was literally picked up and moved to a new location on Highway 101. And that was also in Harbor. During the 1970s, a new group of leaders also emerged. One was Liz James. She was a former commercial artist, watercolor instructor, and sister of charter member Virginia Manley, who donated a building on Oak Street to the association. That building, though remodeled several times, remains the location of PBAA to this day.
And so, Pete, what was the art scene like when you first moved here?
Well, I arrived here in 1999. During my first few years in Brookings, I recall several art galleries. Words and Pictures, which was owned by the late Pat Stewart, Manley Art Center, operated by the Pelican Bay Arts Association, Burtonique at the Port, operated by Len and Vi Burton, Shoe House Gallery, which was owned and operated by Frank Gustafson, Oscar Johnson Gallery just south of the border in Smith River, and the Conference Room and Lobby Showcase at Chetco Community Public Library. In addition, there was some art in local gift shops like the Marketplace, the Beachfront Gift Shop, and Maury's. That's now Wright's. And at the time when it was Maury's, it was then an art and office supply store. And like today, many artists showed their work also in local restaurants. But within a few years, several new galleries started springing up along Chetco Avenue. First was Brian Scott Gallery, which included a small coffee shop. But it was an old building, and Brian had to spend a lot of money to make it functional for both art and for food service. Shortly after, several other galleries opened up, including Eye for Art, Signatures, and Colors, and they were all very close to Brian Scott.
So what about the Brookings Second Saturday Art Walk?
It was about this time when Brookings Second Saturday Art Walk began. The art walk started when Horst Wolf and Dale Wells attended an art walk in North Bend. After seeing it, Dale is reported as saying, "We can do this even better in Brookings," or something to that effect. That was about 11 years ago. With live music, free refreshments, demonstrations, etc., the art walk was a success right from the beginning and grew from an initial venue list of 4 to as many as 15. Some venues, though, were not galleries but offices and retail shops that wanted to take advantage of the art walk's popularity. During this time, we even had guided art walk tours to help visitors find the venues. I was one of the guides. But operating an art gallery in Brookings can be very iffy. The population base is small, tourist season is short, location, as you know, remote, and most of all, there isn't a lot of discretionary income to spend on art. So when the economic slump hit in 2008, it hit the art galleries here particularly hard. On top of that, Pat Stewart died shortly after, and with her passing and the closure of Words and Pictures, one of the mainstays of the art community here was gone.
Yes, I remember. So what about the art scene today?
Well, in spite of all those past difficulties, we have a lot here in terms of art that makes us really special. First and foremost, considering the small size of the community, we have a lot of talented artists. And I think that one reason for that is that retirement brings out the pent-up art urges in a lot of people. I'm a good example. Though I painted when I was a kid, had 4 years of high school art, and studied art and art history in college, I spent most of my 35-year advertising career working as a writer. But over the years, I discovered that I, most of all, like to make things. Sculptures, furniture, lighting, and oh yes, paintings. After Diana and I relocated to Brookings in 1999, I went to Words and Pictures, and Pat agreed to show a couple of my geometric sculptures. They didn't sell. But a short time later, she asked me to show some of my paintings. They did sell. In fact, I sold one painting twice. Two buyers wanted the same painting, so I painted a second. During this period, I also joined Pelican Bay Arts Association. I did it initially because joining got me a discount on entry fees for the Azalea Festival Art Show. As I said earlier, Pelican Bay Arts Association goes back to the 1950s and has owned the building since 1981, when it was donated with an endowment by Virginia Manley. Initially, just a small house, the Manley Arts Center was enlarged and remodeled several times over the years. In 1997, a 40-foot classroom was added, and then in 2005, Dale Wells and I supervised a structural remodel of the oldest section to make the gallery portion bigger and more functional. And there was another upgrade around 2010. As a result, PBAA Manley Arts Center today functions as a gallery and a classroom workshop, a place for painting, life drawing, pottery making, photography, fiber arts, etc. And PBAA continues to sponsor the very popular Azalea Festival Art Show on Memorial Day weekend. Also sponsored by PBAA, now for the third year, is the Festival of Art in Stout Park, which during the first week in August last year hosted 70 art vendors from throughout the West.
Why is so much about the Pelican Bay Arts Association, Pete?
One of the reasons I've put so much emphasis on Pelican Bay Arts Association is that it's been the constant on the art scene here for the past 60 years. As many of us have experienced, commercial galleries here tend to come and go, but PBAA and its Manley Arts Center continue on. And thanks to them, as well as Brian Scott Gallery, Wright's, Chetco Library, and others, there continues to be a lot happening in Brookings when it comes to art and artists.
Well, thank you, Pete. That was wonderful. So let's keep art alive in this wonderful town. Mark your calendar for the second Saturday art walk of each month and view today's artists and the events that go along with that. And don't forget Artistic License, where I host an hour-long happy hour at Brian Scott Gallery on the fourth Friday of each month. You will meet local writers, artists from all genres, and enjoy a complimentary glass of wine and cheese. 4:30 to 6. See you there. This is Angela Ewing for Curry Coast Community Radio. Thanks for listening. Thank you. you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider becoming a founding member. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.